Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into a whole stack of material on commercial real estate, and we're focusing that lens directly on the Dallas-Fort Worth market. Our mission here is really to filter through all the noise, especially in the retail sector, and give you the strategic insights you need to stay ahead.
And it is the perfect time for this focus. I mean, the national CRE picture, it's just defined by this extreme complexity.
Right.
You've got distress and recovery happening at the same time, but DFW, it remains this outlier, you know, attracting capital from all over the world.
Okay, so let's unpack that.
We need to dissect exactly where that money is landing and, maybe more importantly, why it's completely bypassing some of those older legacy assets.
We have to start with the sheer amount of capital just pouring into retail. It kind of flies in the face of what a lot of people assume about brick and mortar.
Exactly. Nationally, the story is, it's stunning. Retail CRE investment sales surged a remarkable 43% year over year.
43%.
And that's through the third quarter of 2025. That pace, it far outstripped every other property sector, including industrial.
And when you look closer, that volume is really concentrated, isn't it?
It is. Sunbelt markets, including Dallas and Houston, were the primary drivers.
So what's the fundamental appeal? What's driving this really aggressive preference for retail right now?
It's stability, pure and simple stability. Investors are targeting these necessity-based assets. So you're looking at grocery-anchored and open-air retail centers.
Right, the daily needs stuff.
Yeah, the thesis is simple. No matter what interest rates are doing or, you know, remote work trends, these centers serve community needs. Their cash flow is just durable.
And that durability is really reflected in the pricing. The sources we have show this high demand is compressing cap rates. Can you break down what that means for maybe the everyday investor listening?
Certainly. So a cap rate, capitalization rate, is basically a measure of return. It's the property's income versus its purchase price.
Yeah.
So when we say strip center cap rates have compressed by 18 basis points, call it BPS year over year to around 6.5%, it means investors are paying a lot more today for the same amount of income they got last year.
So they're accepting a lower immediate yield.
Exactly. Because they trust that future income stream completely. That is a huge signal of confidence.
A confidence that seems to be backed up by DFW's local fundamentals. What do the local retail numbers look like?
They're extremely tight. DFW retail vacancy is near record lows, sitting at just 4.8% in the second quarter.
And more critically, we saw, what, 1.1 million square feet of net absorption in Q2 alone?
We did.
And for anyone listening who doesn't live and breathe CRE accounting, what does net absorption really tell us?
It means that 1.1 million square feet more retail space was leased and occupied than was emptied out during that quarter.
Okay.
It's the ultimate health check for demand. It confirms that new businesses are coming in or existing ones are expanding way faster than stores are closing.
So that combination of tight supply, high demand, and investor eagerness, that's what makes DFW retail such a standout.
That's it.
You can see that confidence most clearly in these massive developments cropping up in the northern suburbs. Let's talk about Frisco. It feels like it's setting a whole new standard for luxury mixed use with projects like Fields West.
Fields West is the new playbook in action. It's not just retail. It's a complete environment.
Right.
You're talking 360,000 square feet of shopping, dining, entertainment, all seamlessly integrated with 350,000 square feet of Class A office space.
And 1,150 luxury residences.
And the residences, a whole ecosystem.
And the tenant list, it really confirms that strategic pivot, you know, towards the experience economy that we keep hearing about.
It does.
You see names like Culinary Dropout, North Italia, Design Within Reach. It's all high-end dining, home furnishings, experiential services.
Precisely. They're building a destination that justifies the drive, that justifies the foot traffic. The developers are de-risking the retail by coupling it with that built-in office traffic and high-income residential density.
And it's working. The project is, what, 70% leased already?
Already 70% leased, and this is well ahead of its phased opening in 2027 and 2028.
Wow. And we're seeing that same strategy in the acquisition market, too. Like, investors, WSR, recently picking up the World Cup Plaza in Frisco.
That acquisition is just strategic genius. It's a restaurant-packed center right next to a future World Cup team base camp.
Perfect location.
It confirms the trend. Capital is chasing that amenity-rich, high-traffic retail that's located immediately next to these huge corporate sports and entertainment hubs. You know, think the PGA headquarters, the Cowboys facilities.
So Frisco's kind of the future being built from the ground up. But Plano, that's where we see the challenge for these legacy assets when that new capital just drives right past them.
A perfect contrast.
The closure of the Dillard's Clearance Center at the Shops at Willow Bend, right after Neiman Marcus Macy's left, it perfectly illustrates that collapse of the old enclosed mall model.
Absolutely. The reliance on those giant department store anchors, it's over. The path forward for these huge, centrally located properties requires a dramatic multi-billion dollar reinvention.
Which brings us to the future plan for it, the Bend.
The plan for the Bend is a massive $1 billion mixed-use revitalization.
$1 billion.
Yeah. It calls for nearly 1,000 apartments, completely new retail and office space, and maybe even a site for a new Dallas Stars Arena after 2031.
So this isn't a renovation. It's a total tear down and rebuild, essentially.
It's an almost complete replacement of the asset. It's shifting from a traditional retail spot to a whole residential and entertainment center. That level of transformation is the new cost of survival.
And despite all this high-end focus, the sources also show that DFW's density is still a huge magnet for necessity retailers.
Oh, for sure. HEB, for example, is planning a $14 million electronic fulfillment center in Frisco starting in 2026.
And Nordstrom Rack is adding a new 25,000 square foot store in Murphy. So that confidence in suburban disposable income is still there.
It's very strong.
Okay, shifting focus a little, we have to talk about the competition for capital in other sectors, particularly industrial. DFW industrial is so hot that one expert gave this wild piece of advice to newcomers. He just said, go overpay for your first deal.
It is a jaw-dropping quote, isn't it? But it captures the frenzy.
It really does.
The barrier to entry is so high because the fundamentals are incredible. DFW just recorded its 60th straight quarter of positive net absorption.
It's a 15-year streak.
15 years. And on top of that, there's a massive 21.3 million square feet under construction right now.
But is telling a newcomer to overpay really sound investment advice? Or is it just a symptom of, you know, irrational exuberance?
It's probably a bit of both. The fundamentals do support aggressive pricing, but it certainly increases your risk. But when we talk about real risk, the pain is most acute in some of these older asset classes and the value add strategies that got hammered by rising rates.
And we are seeing that reset playing out in foreclosures here locally. Tell us about the distress that's showing up in DFW multifamily and office.
Yeah, this is the necessary market cleanup. We saw the impending foreclosure of Jordan Multifamily's $55.5 million student housing portfolio in Denton.
Okay.
This is your classic case of a value-add operator, someone who relies on cheap debt, you know, bridge loans to buy and fix up older properties. They just got caught.
By high interest rates and construction costs.
Exactly. Their whole strategy went bust because the costs just outran the rents they could possibly charge.
And this isn't an isolated problem. That pain point is affecting the broader market.
It is. Value-add operators make up most of the CRE debt that's heading to foreclosure. And with $19 billion in Texas multifamily loans maturing in the next 5 years, we should expect more of this.
Even Class A office isn't safe.
Not immune at all. The Harwood No. 1 office building in Uptown Dallas was foreclosed on. A $37 million loan default. Even a high-profile, desirable building can struggle when the capital stack collapses because of debt costs.
And that debt pressure is also changing how new projects get approved.
Yeah.
Up in Prosper, the town council recently tabled that huge $313 million Bella Prosper project. What were the city's concerns there?
Well, they raised some really valid points about the project's balance and its phasing. Specifically, the number of multifamily units, 435, was large.
Right.
And the proposed timeline would have seen all the apartments built before most of the retail was done.
So they were worried about getting a residential complex without the promised commercial site.
Exactly. Municipalities are setting higher standards. They want the commercial elements delivered at the same time to ensure the project genuinely creates a community and drives tax revenue, not just housing.
We should also quickly mention that Prosper is using some strategic economic tools, setting a public hearing for a TRZ along Dallas Parkway. Can you just briefly explain what a TRZ is and why that matters?
Sure. A TIRZ, or Tax Increment Reinvestment Zone, is a tool that lets a city fund public improvements, like roads or utilities, by borrowing against the future increase in property taxes that the development itself will generate.
So it's a way to self-finance the infrastructure.
It's a mechanism to finance the infrastructure needed to support these massive projects, like the ones planned all along the Dallas Parkway corridor.
These local pressures are all playing out against some fascinating national trends. The first is that massive shift to the experience economy, and it's even happening in the auto sector.
Oh, absolutely. Look at Ford's signature 2.0 makeover. They're planning to revamp up to 9,000 dealerships around the world.
9,000.
And they're explicitly benchmarking against hospitality. They want the showroom to feel more like a high-end hotel lobby or an Apple store.
So lounge areas, better service.
Lounge areas, omnichannel integration. It shows that for big retail investments, the physical space is now a venue for brand immersion and customer comfort, not just for transactions.
It's amazing that a century-old car company and a brand like Skims are basically converging on the same idea.
It is. Skims just hit that $5 billion valuation, and their strategy explicitly is to become a predominantly physical business.
So they're leaning into brick and mortar.
Heavily. With rapid expansion from their current 18 stores, their confidence just shows you that physical retail is absolutely thriving, but only for brands that have immense pull, brands that can justify the customer making a physical trip.
Which brings us to a very different picture in the quick service restaurant sector, the QSR world.
Yeah.
There's this intense scramble for A-plus locations, even while profit margins are getting squeezed.
Well, the QSR world is caught in what they're calling the K-shaped consumer recovery.
Okay, what does that mean?
On the top part of the K, your higher income diners are spending just as much, if not more. That's propping up sales for the premium fast casual brands.
Right.
But on the lower prong of the K, budget conscious customers are cutting back. A lot. This forces QSRs to rely on these razor-thin value menus, which creates a crazy competitive environment where you must have the best, highest traffic site to survive.
So even if your product is a necessity, if your location isn't perfect, you're vulnerable.
Extremely vulnerable. You see it with chains like Starbucks and Noodles & Company shutting down their underperforming stores. Location is everything.
So if you were to summarize the core takeaway for everyone listening,
right,
what is it?
DFW retail is attracting major, aggressive capital, but that investment is highly, highly selective. The market is moving decisively away from that legacy, anchor-dependent mall and toward mixed-use, experiential destinations, and those resilient, grocery-anchored centers.
And the winners will be the ones who can actually execute.
The sophistication required to execute a complex project like Fields West or that billion-dollar reinvention of the Bend, that is what's going to define who wins the next cycle. And the good news is, the capital is there. The lenders are active. We're seeing new reports that CRE lending momentum is the highest it's been since 2018.
It is.
We see big financial players re-engaging. PNC Bank, for instance, is expanding its branch network by over 300 locations by 2030, and DFW is a key target for them.
The capital is ready to flow, but only into assets that are positioned for the future consumer.
Which raises the final provocative thought for you to consider. Given that institutional capital is so clearly prioritizing DFW assets built around superior experiences, high residential density, and community integration, and that money is actively looking for a home, are your existing or planned assets repositioned fast enough to capture this new, highly selective wave of investment? Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into DFW's commercial real estate landscape. We'll talk to you next time.